Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Appreciate you tuning in today. Super Bowl week, very exciting. Also kind of bittersweet because it means that after Sunday, we're not going to have football for a while. And as usual, post Super Bowl, I'm going to use that as an opportunity to take some time off in February. So we won't be doing any shows for the next couple of weeks, but then we'll come back strong around the combine and free agency, and that'll lead us right into the NFL draft season. And if you want to get a head start on all that stuff, I have my early 2023 rankings out. I updated those at the beginning of February. My dynasty trade value charts, same thing there. I updated those in the last week, including my rookie rankings. I just put out my early breakout candidates for every AFC team this week. I'll have the NFC version of that one up later in the week. And we've also done episodes on top free agents and the top prospects. We've done that over the last couple of weeks too. So make sure you check all that stuff out. For today's show, I want to open up the mailbag. The off season is almost here. We haven't had a Q&A or a mailbag episode in a while. I figured you had questions. I was right. So let's dive into these. At great underscore Catsby. Number one, what's the major takeaway from the 2022 fantasy season in redraft leagues? What should we take to heart? And number two, best advice for new auction drafters heading into 2023. Okay, so for the number one question there, there are a lot of takeaways from the season. One for me, and really the biggest one, is that I'm moving all the elite fantasy quarterbacks up in my 2023 rankings. When you're talking about the top 200, top 250, I expanded it to in the last update. You're just getting a serious advantage from those guys. And we've seen it when one quarterback has an outstanding year, whether it was Patrick Mahomes in 2018, he had a huge touchdown total, really big season. Lamar Jackson in 2019, he had the touchdown efficiency, he had the rushing yards. 2020, we kind of had a bunch of quarterbacks go off, and that might have been a result of COVID and kind of a boost for the offenses there. But 2021, Josh Allen, he was that guy. He stood out above the rest in terms of his fantasy production. But then this year, you had Mahomes, you had Allen, and you had Jalen Hurts. They were all above 24 fantasy points per game on average. And often they had monster weeks, week winning performances. I mean, Allen, not so much in the second half of the season after he had that elbow injury. But for next year, I am willing to consider those guys as early as the second round, probably the late second round, more likely in the third. And I was more willing to take them higher this season. I mean, often I had gone with late round quarterbacks. I've talked about it a million times, you know, the eighth, ninth round, you try to find those breakout guys. Before this season, I was willing to kind of go up into the fourth, the fifth, and take some of these elite guys if they were falling. I think they are just so valuable for your fantasy team. So yes, you can still wait. You can try to identify those breakout guys and get them in the mid to later rounds. But locking in on one of those top quarterbacks, one of those elite producers, that's something that I'm more willing to do in 2023. And that was something that really I took away from 2022. And then your second question about advice for new auction drafters, I would say two things here. I would have an idea of what you think player values should be when you're going in, and tiers at each position. So you have an idea kind of where the drop-offs are. And that could be you coming up with something on your own. Or, I mean, for us, we'll have auction values, we'll have tiers, all that stuff will be in the draft kit when it comes out in late spring or early summer. And you don't necessarily have to stick to those. Like, you don't have to treat them like they're gospel, but you need to have a guide going in so that you know how to value players, and then you can adjust as you go, because you'll figure it out pretty quickly if it's an aggressive auction room or if people are being really cautious. And then the quicker you can identify that and adjust your approach, the better. And then the other thing is, I would just say be patient, because I've been in auctions where I don't make a pick for an hour. Sometimes it can be that long, it can be that drawn out, depending what the timers are. Maybe you bid up guys during that time a little bit, maybe get outbid on players that you actually do like and you were trying to get, but sometimes you will go very long stretches not making a pick, and you can't let that impact your approach. Don't get trigger happy, don't make dumb moves, know your plan, adjust accordingly based on how the draft's unfolding, and that is easier with the more experience you have. But if you do your research in advance, I'm telling you, you're going to be more prepared than most of the people in your league normally. And we'll try to hit on more auction content this offseason as we're going, because I do get a lot of questions about it. So we should try to do a little more content on it this year. at WorldSerpent82. What's your dynasty outlook for George Pickens? I'm seeing a lot of sell due to the inflated cost, but your rankings imply you see him as a good dynasty asset. So I put out the AFC edition of my early 2023 breakout candidates. Like I said, I put that out on Tuesday, and spoiler, Pickens is the most likely breakout candidate for the Steelers. I think anybody could have seen that one. And I get that he's become a pretty polarizing fantasy asset. There are a bunch of people who I respect who think that Pickens is incredibly overvalued right now, that the hype train's out of control, in large part because of all those highlight reel catches that he makes. And then there are people who think that he is absolutely destined to be the next great receiver to come out of that Steelers system. And I kind of think both things can be true, that one-handed catches on the sidelines, that's not automatically going to make you a great receiver or a fantasy star. And yes, that casual fantasy players are going to be more impacted by those kind of plays, but that we also shouldn't just take a hard line approach in the opposite direction just because people are excited about Pickens, maybe for some of the wrong reasons. He's also a 21-year-old wideout who missed most of his last college season due to a torn ACL. And then he enters the NFL this year and put up top 40 fantasy numbers on a per game basis over his last 14 contests this year. And he did that with pretty underwhelming quarterback play. I mean, Kenny Pickett, he showed some signs of life, especially late in the season, but he wasn't impressive in year one. So 52 catches, 801 yards, four touchdowns. That's a decent rookie year for Pickens in that situation. And while it's definitely too early to tell if he's going to be a number one receiver in the pros, I think he showed more than enough to keep that debate alive. And if we can get a little improvement at quarterback from Pickett going into their second season, a little more chemistry between those two, I think Pickens is going to be just fine. So I get the concerns that he's not separating and that he saves himself with his ball skills and the contested catch ability, but there's lots of quality receivers who do it like that. I mean, every great wideout isn't leaving DBs 5 yards back in a cloud of dust. So I am excited still for Pickens. I see him as a buy, assuming that you're not paying just insane prices to get him, or more likely as a hold, which is what I'm doing the places that I have him. But I also agree with our buddy Jordan McNamara over at Analytics of Dynasty that if you can package Pickens and something in order to kind of upgrade and get a surefire star receiver, that's a smart dynasty move because it helps you avoid that risk that comes with a young, unproven talent like Pickens. And when you can cash in on that in favor of more of a sure thing, you're normally better off in dynasty. At Phil George Mike, George Pickens or Treylon Burks in 2023? Well, the funny thing here is that I mentioned Burks as the most likely breakout candidate for the Titans in my column yesterday. And I even wrote in the article that when it came time to choose a main image for the column, I wanted to go with Burks, who I think he has a higher ceiling than Pickens, but we found this great picture of Pickens coming out of the tunnel, the bright lights behind him, and that image was just too good to pass up on. So we went with Pickens as the main image on the article, but Burks, absolutely one of my favorite buys right now. And this is an area where I think you can often find value because we want to see rookies compete in the pros. We want to see what they're going to be able to do when they get out there on a field against some of these veteran NFL players. The only problem for a guy like Burks is that he got hurt multiple times this past year. So in the end, he didn't even string together more than four consecutive games at any point in 2022. And that does a couple things. Obviously, it makes his end of the year stats much, much lower than otherwise they would have been, right? But it also doesn't allow that hype train to get rolling for him. And now that being said, what we saw from Burks, I think was really good. You know, he came out of the gates, he was earning targets at an elite rate right away. And then around mid-season, he appeared to be making the leap. He had 7 for 111 1 week, 4 for 70 the week after. And then the week after that, in what was going to be a really tough matchup with that Eagles secondary, he caught just a beautiful 25-yard touchdown between two defenders, except he suffered a concussion on the play. So that kind of stifled the potential breakout there. But when he was healthy, he looked the part of an impact receiver. I can't wait to see what the Titans are going to do with him in year two. I mean, assuming, of course, that he can stay healthy, which, I mean, the injuries that he had, I don't think it was anything that we think is going to be chronic here. But yeah, Burks would be my choice over Pickens. I just see a higher ceiling for Burks, so that's why he's the guy that I'd want to go with there. At Zilla Jeff, what's the value of Calvin Ridley in terms of dynasty trade cost / acquisition cost? That is a great question. I mean, you can check out my Dynasty Trade Value charts if you want to compare him to other players. I'm not going to rattle off every potential option that you could trade him for here, but I see him as a low-end wide receiver 3 in Dynasty, kind of in that mix of my Dynasty rankings. And if we're talking about, you know, rookie draft pick compensation, I'd be willing to give up an early second round rookie pick for him. I wouldn't go any higher than that. I mean, he's been away for a while here. He's coming back to a really good situation, and we have seen him produce in the past. So he's someone that I would try to get, but I'm not overextending myself to pull off that deal. At JoeyBags831, should leagues still keep the tight end position as a standalone position or just add them to the wide receiver slash tight end flex? I want tight end to be its own position. I think it's silly to combine them with receivers. Yes, I know Travis Kelce is leaps and bounds ahead of everyone at the position, but a healthy Mark Andrews, he can get close. And we've got some other intriguing guys like Kyle Pitts and George Kittle. You know, those guys can have elite ceilings. We've seen it from Kittle before. We think that Pitts can get up there at some point if the situation around him improves. Dallas Goedert, TJ Hockenson, they're really solid starters. David Njoku, he could be better with a full season of Deshaun Watson. There's some potential there. And then we just had a bunch of young tight ends enter the mix in the last couple of years. I mean, Pat Freiermuth, Greg Dulcich, Chigakonkwo, Trey McBride, Cade Otton, not to mention, it's a pretty darn good group of tight end prospects coming in this year's draft. So let's keep tight ends as its own thing. Do not get too cute with it there. At Nicholas Busseri, your thoughts on if the better strategy this year drafting will be going RB heavy early or wide receiver heavy early in the first few rounds? And then a similar question at JM Tweeten, for next season, do we prioritize wide receivers, running backs, or elite tight ends in the first two rounds of redraft? I don't normally lock myself into a specific plan, but I do normally lean towards hero RB. If you've been listening to the show for the last few years, you know that's my preferred approach. So one strong running back early in the first two rounds, and then you focus on receiver and tight end, and then you come back around, you try to find some value at running back a little later, and then you absolutely load up on running backs in the late rounds. And that's what I've had the most success doing in recent years. But we've also got a lot of time to discuss that. I know some people might be wanting to start, you know, best ball leagues in the next few weeks here, but we got a lot of time to talk about that throughout the offseason. At Dominic Valdez 5, will Bijan Robinson make it to the Bills at 27, or is he going to get picked up sooner? No bias, Boone. All right, fair enough. No bias for my Bills love here. One of the things that I talked about with Buffalo's front office before is just how smart they've been over the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, for years, the Bills made just head-scratching decision after head-scratching decision. But under this Brandon Bean regime, they've been so much better. Yes, you can criticize some of the picks they've made, but overall, they have made really, really savvy moves. So I don't see them spending a first-round pick on a running back, especially after they invested a day-two pick at the position last year. And regardless, I think Bijan's going to go probably between 16 and 23 in the first round, so I don't see him getting to Buffalo anyway. At Stott99, do you factor in contract years for running backs or any other skill positions as part of your rankings? Yeah, I do, actually. Just as part of the final, you know, finishing touches on the rankings, when I add my final spin on things, I don't work it into my model, but it's just one small factor, so it's not really heavily weighted. I don't know if there's somebody specific that you're thinking about with this question, but players do get a very small bump in contract years. At B. Baylor, in rookie drafts, I always like to take best player available. I am loaded at wide receiver, Drake London, Chris Olave, Jalen Waddle. When is it okay to start drafting based on need? It's your team, so you should do whatever you feel is best, and it does depend on the league. In some leagues, it is really difficult to get players at specific positions. Like I'm thinking in two quarterback leagues and super flex leagues, you might have a hard time trading for a quarterback in those. So the draft might be your best way of getting one. Or I'm in a couple leagues where you start three or more running backs and then the running backs have added value. But if you're just basing it on being strong in a position and wanting to pivot, in that scenario, I would be careful because you always have to think about the value. And if you add another receiver and if they hit, then you might be able to trade one of your young wideouts and upgrade another position, right? Think of the return you could get for Jaylen Waddle if you're trying to get a player at a different position. So that's why you normally want to draft best player available. I try to stick to that as best I can, with some exceptions, like I said. At Golf Loco, have a lot of draft capital this season. Do Zamir White, Keyonte Ingram, and John Mechie have a place on taxi, or make room for rookie picks 108, 110, 202, 210, 302, and 303, looking to go back-to-back? Thanks, Boone. Yeah, I would be holding on to all three of those guys on your taxi squad. I still think there's value there, unless it's a really shallow bench league, which obviously you didn't mention there. But if you have a taxi squad, I'm guessing it's a deeper bench. I'd be hanging on to all three of those guys if you can. At Dirtybag1369, CMC or the 2023-101. It is close enough that I really don't lean strongly one way or the other. If you're a contender, if you want to ride CMC next year on a title run, I'm actually okay with that. I mean, the upside that he can give you is just huge. But on pure value, I would rather have the 101 in rookie drafts, and then you're taking Bijan Robinson at that point, who I think could be a factor for a lot longer, right? CMC is going to be 27 this year. That tends to be when we start to see running backs kind of show a little bit of decline. You know, it just comes down to your team composition, and really also comes down to Bijan's landing spot, because if he goes somewhere where in the first year it's going to be a committee backfield, let's say he ends up with, I don't think this is going to happen, but let's say he ends up with the Chargers or something, all of a sudden his short-term value, that's going to take a hit in the immediate future. So it's close, but I do lean towards the 101 over CMC. At ThatDudeAG, dynasty question. I have the 102. Looking to move up to the 101. I know this is a really general question, but how much is too much to give up? I guess another way of asking is, what tier of names should be put in with the 102 to make that move? So from what I've seen so far, I think you are going to have a really hard time moving up to the 101, especially if it's a single QB league. I feel like most dynasty leagues now are 2QB or super flex, but people are just in love with Bijan Robinson, and for good reason. I mean, look, we're doing an off-season mailbag, or almost off-season mailbag, and look how many times his name has come up in this. People are very excited for him. But mortgaging the farm on a running back, not normally the best bet in Dynasty, at least in my experience. I would rather use the 102 in a trade, see what else you can get at running back for that 102, see if you can get a veteran player for that 102, or even another young running back that's already out there who's been drafted in the last couple of years, or spend the 102 on something else and try to find a starting running back a little cheaper a different way. There's guys out there. I like Cam Akers as a buy low target, somebody that I was basically completely out on before this season, but we said coming back from that Achilles, 2 years removed from it, maybe we would start to see him get back to form. And we started to see that in the second half of the year. Guy like Khalil Herbert, it's possible that the Bears end up with somebody else on that roster, turn that into a committee. It's also possible they roll with him as the starter next year. And yes, guys like Akers and Herbert, they have some risk, but you also don't have to pay that King's ransom to get them like you would have to do to get Bijan Robinson. And if that doesn't work, if you can't make any of those deals, then you go and you load up on as many backup running backs as you can. You try to find a starter based on quantity over quality. And if you load your bench up with backup running backs, we see it every year, you're eventually going to find some part-time starters who can get you through. Maybe even guys that end up being the starter for the rest of the season. Definitely the harder path. I'm not trying to pretend like that's going to be easy, but if that fails, it doesn't crush your roster the way sending a huge haul of picks and players to get the number one pick, that could really set you back if it doesn't work out. If you go get that one player in Bijan Robinson and then he gets hurt, all of a sudden your team could really be in trouble for the next year or two. So I would much rather go the other way with it. Don't try to spend up and get that 101. Try to find another path to get yourself a running back. At JJ underscore Webster, dynasty question. I lost the final by 2 points. Would have been back-to-back championships if I started Lawrence over Jones in the Superflex slot. Puking emoji. After I went all in the last 2 years, I'm stuck with old running backs and no picks. How do I motivate myself for the next 2 seasons? Listen, I get it. It can be tough to stay excited in Dynasty sometimes, especially when you go for it like that and you come up short. But here's the thing. If the problem that you have is that your running backs are old and you don't have picks, guess what? You're old at the right position. Running back is the easiest spot to find replacements for on the cheap. And it's because of what I just talked about in the last question. You can hit on waiver wire pickups. You can trade for backup running backs and get them thrown in as just an add-on and a bigger deal and load up your bench with guys who are one injury or two injuries away from fantasy relevance. And if you're making those kind of moves, yes, it can be tough. Like I said in the previous question, you know, you got to try to get out ahead on some of these situations. You're not always going to be right on it. You know, things are going to change with free agency and the draft. So you have to be ready to make moves based on that throughout the offseason. But having old running backs, it's not the end of the world if the rest of your team is still a contender. Now, if the rest of your roster is looking rough too, then it might be time to tear it down. Maybe you turn your attention to 2024. But normally, if running back is the only thing that's holding you back, I can easily get energized about working the waiver wire, making some smaller deals, acquiring some of those backup RBs who could potentially be fantasy impact players at some point during the season if their starter gets hurt. And the worst case scenario, you trade away your old assets, you tank this season, you get into the Caleb Williams sweepstakes next year. But I feel like, and I don't have all the information, I feel like I'm trying to be hopeful, I'm trying to be optimistic, like you're not in dire straits yet. Either way, a lot of fun to be had no matter which path you take here. And I've said it before, I underwent a rebuild for the first time ever in Dynasty this season, and it was weirdly fun. I hate losing. That part of it was a little difficult, but it was fun having five first-round picks over the next 2 years and a bunch of seconds, a bunch of thirds, as well as some young assets to build around. And if done right, I don't think I'm going to have to wait years to be in contention again. I think the turnaround could be quick. You know, some diligence, a little luck. So I think hopefully the scenario for you is kind of similar, and maybe you just have to make a couple moves and you're right back into it. Or at worst, you kind of take that 1 year rebuild approach and you come back strong in 2024. But either way, good luck with whatever path you take on that one. That is all for today's show. If you want more, like all the content that I mentioned off the top, you can find all that for free over at The Score. There's also links to most of it on my Twitter page at Justin Boone. This is the official end now to the 2023 season for the podcast. But like I said earlier, we'll be back when it matters most. So around combine and free agency, and we'll be going strong all off season long after that. So until then, big thanks again for all the questions and for all the support, you know, on the Score app and in the comment section there on Twitter, during the podcast, during the live Twitter Spaces shows. We've got a great community going here, and it just makes me really, really excited to wake up and to do my job every morning. I am incredibly lucky to be able to work in the fantasy industry, and I do not take that for granted at all. I think you all know that. I put in the hours. I try to make sure that my content is as accurate as possible, in part because I want to make sure that I'm giving myself the best chance to win in my leagues, but also because I love hearing that it helps you excel in yours too. So thank you for taking the ride with me each year. I can't wait to get going in free agency in March and to find out where some of these players are going to end up and how that's going to change the fantasy landscape. But for now, as always, big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby, said leave on time. Leave on time with me.